Just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. I come.
Rabbi, where are you staying? And Jesus said, come, and you will see. Our scripture lessons for tonight talk about being designated. For example, Paul, in his letter to the church at Corinth, begins his opening greeting by identifying who he is, who Jesus is, who the Corinthians are. Paul says, God has called me by his own will, designated me, named me apostle, a sent out one. God is sending me out to preach Christ crucified. Paul says, Jesus has been designated the Christ, the source and the content of God's mercy and grace. Paul says, and you Corinthians, and all who call upon the name of Jesus Christ as Lord are designated, declared, called, named saints, holy ones. Not called so that you can work your way into sainthood, not so that you can become holy through your own effort or goodness or moral conduct. You see the difference? You've been designated. You've been purposed, declared holy, so that you can live and walk holy for the designated one, Jesus, the Christ, your Lord, your Savior, the one who sends you out, designates you as apostles. In our first reading for tonight, we hear the designation, servant. But it's too small a thing, Israel, that you would bring my people out of captivity back to the promised land, back to the holy city, Jerusalem. No, I'm going to designate you as a light to the nations, to the whole world. You will be my polished arrow in the master's quiver, hid in the palm of God's hand, guarded, protected, purposed, declared. You are designated for mission. And then in our gospel reading, we have someone like John the Baptist who has been designated to prepare the way of the Lord. Designated a voice crying in the wilderness. Designated to point to Jesus. And in the baptism of Jesus, that's where the point is made, where Jesus as Christ is revealed to John so that he can in turn point to Jesus and reveal him to the nation. Behold the Lamb of God. Jesus is designated as the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. Designated. Like a designated driver. I was at a baseball game years ago with my son Joshua in the old Metrodome up in the Twin Cities. And he and I were sitting and watching the Twins play. And right next to me was four young men in their 20s. And they were ordering one Miller Lite after another. And eventually I struck up a conversation with a young man about 24 years old next to me, and I said, have you got stock in that company? He said, no, but we probably should have some. And then later, as we're watching the game, I watched more carefully, and every time they kept getting another round, it was three Miller Lights and one Pepsi. Three Miller Lights and one Pepsi. And so I looked at this young man next to me and I said, I just noticed that you're also drinking Pepsi. He said, yeah. He said, that's for the guy over there. He's our designated driver. And I looked at him. I said, thank you. I said, I'm a pastor. And I buried kids because of alcohol, drinking and driving. Designated not to drink so that they can drive safely with those who have been consuming. When we think of the word designated, you think about baseball, for example, and being designated for assignment because you're no longer on the 40-man roster. Or you think about the designated hitter rule, which has prolonged the life of a lot of athletes as far as their playing time. The American League has it. The National League doesn't have it. There's been a lot of debate over the years. What do you do, for example, at the All-Star game? What do you do when you're playing the World Series? Well, home team, if they have the designated hitter rule, and then the pitcher doesn't have to run the bases and worry about getting hurt, right? So we understand what it means to be designated, or when people give their gifts. Most of the time, it goes into the offering to take care of the mission plan of God. But sometimes people say, I want to give an additional gift, an extra gift. I want to give a designated gift because it's being purposed, right, for something particular and specific. And that's what we see happening in our scripture lessons for tonight. People are being designated, purposed by God, declared holy for a holy life. Servants to be servants of Jesus, Messiah, pointers pointing to God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, in all that they say and do. Behold, see, Epiphany, the Lamb of God. He is taking away the sin of the world. He is taking away the sin of the world. Did you see what happened? John is pointing to Jesus. He says, behold the Lamb of God. And two of his students, his disciples, they hear. And faith comes by the hearing of the word. They hear what John says, and immediately they start to follow Jesus. Jesus turns and says, what are you looking for? What are you seeking? Did you hear what they said? Rabbi, where are you staying? What, are they freeloaders? Are they looking just for bed and breakfast or what? No. We know what the word staying means. In John's gospel, it's meno, M-E-N-O. Meno means to remain, to stay. Where are you remaining? Where are you staying? We want a staying place. We don't want something that's just temporary. We want a permanent Lord and Savior forever. Rabbi, where are you staying? Remaining, abiding. And Jesus says, come and see. Take a test. A test drive of the vehicle. Try a sample. They're free. Check it out. See if it fits. But here's what's interesting about what Jesus says. It's not a once and done. Keep on coming. That's what it literally says. Keep on coming. Stay with me. Remain with me. Abide with me. And then he gives a promise. That's what the future tense is. It's a promise language. And you will see. It's a guarantee. Staying with Jesus, abiding with Jesus, remaining with Jesus bears the fruit of seeing. Faith is believing what you cannot see. The assurance of things hoped for, the confidence of things that aren't seen. So you see with the eyes of faith. Come, Jesus says. Keep coming. Not once a month, not once a year, not only when there's a crisis in your life, but stay in an abiding relationship with me and you will see. Promise. Guaranteed. Now, they do that. It's 4 o'clock in the afternoon and they're not just lodging with Jesus. They remain with him. And the very first thing that you hear that one of those designated disciples of John, named Andrew, does, he goes and finds his brother, Simon. We have found Messiah. He brings Simon to Jesus. And Jesus says, I designate you Petros, Peter, rock. Now, if we were to continue reading the lesson, you would find out that the next day, in other words, the next day is always an opportunity for God's people to do evangelism, to point to Jesus, to share the faith. The next day, Jesus is going through Galilee, and he finds Philip. And the first thing Philip does is find his friend Nathanael. We have found the Lord. Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Out of Galilee? I mean, that kind of place. And he says, come and see. Did you notice what happens in our gospel reading? This prologue of John chapter 1? You get the preacher pointing to Jesus. You get Andrew pointing his brother to Jesus. You get Philip pointing his friend Nathanael to Jesus. Friendship evangelism, family evangelism. The proclamation of the gospel in church and in the world. So we ask ourselves, who brought you to Jesus? Who brought you to Jesus? And who are you bringing to Jesus? I was born on June 3rd, 1957. And 13 days later, my mom and dad brought me to Jesus. They brought me to that watery grave of holy baptism, where I was immersed into a lifelong walk of dying and rising through daily repentance with Jesus. Why in the world would someone bring me to Jesus? So that pointing me in the right direction, I would be able to point others in the right direction. It's revealed to John the Baptist that Jesus is the Christ, and he points his students to Jesus. It gets pointed out, and he points it out. It's revealed to Andrew, and he points it out to his brother, because we love our family, our spouses, our kids, our aunts, our uncles, and we want them to know the joy of salvation in Jesus. So it's been pointed out to us, and we point it out to our family members. And then Philip gets found by Jesus so that he can be a finder. You see? It's all about who brought you to Jesus and who are you bringing to Jesus? Who are you pointing in the right direction? To Jesus, the way, the truth, and the life, so that they too can remain, abide, so that they can stay with Jesus permanently, not just occasionally from time to time, temporarily. but an abiding relationship. A woman by the name of Darla has been designated by God as a follower of Christ, as a polished arrow in the master's quiver, as a servant, as a light to the nations. Darla is a registered nurse. She works in a large hospital in a large city. One day, when Darla was on her lunch break, she went down to the hospital cafeteria, picked out some food, paid for her purchases, was about to walk over to that predictable seating space where she and some of her best friends sat. But then she noticed over on the side at a large table, there was a woman sitting all by herself with her head hung low over her tray. In despair, in sadness and sorrow, Darla said, "I thought to myself, do I go where it's comfortable, convenient, and easy, where all my friends are? Or is God calling me to go over here to this person who's sitting all by themselves?" So she went over, and she said to the woman, "Do you mind if I join you?" And the woman lifted her head just briefly. "That's up to you." And then hung her head down again. Well, Darla sat down with her plate of food. And she said, "It wasn't easy. You've been there. It's like pulling teeth, right?" But she initiated a conversation. And pretty soon the woman said, "My name is Barbara." And then pretty soon she started sharing her story. Her husband was in the hospital and he was dying. It was only a matter of time. She revealed that she and her husband were only children. And they never had any kids of their own. And after her husband died, she would be all alone with no one to live for and no reason to live for. Well, they finished their lunch, and Darla needed to get back up on the fourth floor to where she was working that day. But she said to Barbara, "I'd like us to continue this conversation. This afternoon, I'll be down here at 4 o'clock. On my coffee break, could we have coffee together and talk some more?" And so they did. And that pattern of having lunch together and having afternoon coffee together continued throughout the entire week. And then Saturday came, and Darla said, "I can't meet you tomorrow. Tomorrow I'm going to be in church with my family. But I talked to the nurses on your husband's floor, and tomorrow morning they're going to be bathing him and doing some things. If you'd like me to, I'll come and I'll pick you up. You can come to church with me and I'll bring you right back here so that you can sit with your husband." And Barbara said yes. And then years passed. And one day when Barbara and Darla were having coffee together and reminiscing, Barbara said, "Darla, do you remember when we first met? Do you remember when we first met in that hospital cafeteria?" Darla nodded yes. Barbara said, "You know, when you sat next to me, I had just prayed to God that when my husband died, that he'd let me die too, because I had no reason for living. And then I saw what was like a dove on your shoulder. And suddenly it was like God was saying to me, I'm going to show you, Barbara, I'm going to show you that you have a reason to live. And then you took me to church, and you sat with me all day in my husband's room. And you were there when he died, and you came to his funeral. I want to thank you, Barbara said to Darla, for pointing me to Jesus, for helping me to see the presence of God. People are looking for someone to point them in the right direction. And you, my friends, you've been called. You've been chosen. You're the one. A light to the nations. Yes. You are a polished arrow in the Master's quiver, hid in his hand. The Sent One sends us. Someone brought us to Jesus. Thanks be to God. So that we in turn can bring someone else to Jesus. And that's the point. Because Jesus is Lord. And He's your Savior. And He is preparing an abiding place in His Father's house, where you and I, who remain in Him, will be with Him for always and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.